Alan and Unwin and Wave Sound Audiobooks present an unabridged recording of A Beautiful Family by Jennifer Trevelyan, narrated by Ruby Hansen.
For Dad. Chapter 1. Driving to the holiday house, I made sure there was acres of empty seat between my sister and me. I sat hard up against the car door and watched the scrub by the side of the road blur past my window. My mother played Queen's Greatest Hits on the car stereo and passed around a bag of hard jubes. At an intersection, my father stopped suddenly, spilling the jubes. "Fuckwit," he muttered. I wondered if he'd only just begun to use that word, or if it was a word he'd used for years, which I'd only just begun to hear. The drive took a couple of hours, and we stopped twice, once for corn on the cob and once for an antique shop. My sister, Vanessa, opted to stay in the car both times, so both times I opted to get out. The antique shop was dark and cool, and my mother bought a teapot to add to her collection. In the past, we had always spent our summer holidays in remote places, where there were no fences and the local fruit shop was just an honesty box by the side of the road. That had always been my mother's preference. My father would ask her, around the start of September, when we were just beginning to feel that winter was behind us and spring was coming, "Where to this year?" And he would go down to the street and get the New Zealand roadmap out of our car, where it lived in the back pocket of the driver's seat, and they would sit down together at the dining room table and try to flatten out its hopelessly curled edges. My mother liked to lay open a map of the North Island, shut her eyes, and plant her finger somewhere. Once, when my parents were feeling flush, she opened it to a map of the South Island. It was funny because sometimes her finger landed in the middle of the ocean, and my father would tease us about hiring a boat. But mostly her finger found land, and if it found a place that was too built up or too much like a town or city, she would screw up her face, shake her head, and start again. This year was different. My father still went and got the roadmap from the car, but my mother had already made up her mind. She wanted to go to a place with people. "What people?" my father asked. "Which people?" "Just any people. No specific people." "Strangers?" "Well, yes, people." We were all a bit stumped. My mother had been known to rule out a beach on the basis that there was one umbrella already up, or a lone fisherman standing on a rock. She'd bypass a picnic spot if there was a couple kissing on a rug in a far distant corner. Once, when we were trying to find somewhere for dinner, I saw a restaurant with nobody in it, every table completely empty. I pointed it out to my mother. I was sure that she would love it. She shook her head. "Not that one." "But it's empty," I said. "Just the way you like it." "It's different for restaurants," she said. "Why people?" my father asked. "What purpose will they serve?" My mother got exasperated then. "Oh, I don't know. For goodness sake, I just want to try it. A place with people. Is that too much to ask?" My father had only been teasing. Anyone could tell. We all went quiet for a bit. My mother's face was flushed. Then my father said, "Did you have anywhere in mind?" My mother nodded. She walked over to the dining room table where the roadmap lay. She was wearing an apron and was halfway through cooking dinner. I saw that she had taken off her rings, probably because she was afraid of losing them in the stew. She picked the roadmap up with oniony hands. "There," she said, putting it down and planting her finger. My father peered at the point where my mother's finger had left a watery mark. I saw that it was north of where we lived in Wellington, but not by much. "That's a popular spot," he said. "I hope we haven't left it too late." "See what you can do," my mother shrugged. "It really doesn't matter either way, it's just a suggestion." She turned back to the kitchen, wiping her hands down the front of her apron, alternating front and back. The rest of what she said came to us over her shoulder, in a light, casual voice that barely carried through the open kitchen door. "Wherever we go, I'm sure we'll have a lovely time, so long as the four of us are together." I reached out, spinning the map around so that I could see it right way up.